God has much more reasons than that. Hallelujah. Are we here? I said, are we here? Okay. Let's just read verse 26. Give us an NLT to make it very easy to understand. I'd like you to look NLT. Can you get NLT for us? Thank you. I'd like you to look at this verse on the screen and the second verse, but just look at this one. From one man, Jehovah God created how many? All the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall. U.S. was not around 300 years ago. It was a nonentity. Britain, about 250 years ago, their street in London was worse than Muslim Street. So God could raise nations, God could pull down nations. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. Now, why did he do that? Why did God put us into nations? This is the reason why. Not for GDP, not for security. That's all good. Look at next verse. For his purpose was for the nations to put up defense, security, economy, to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though it's not far from any one of us. You know, I know you think that I'm a pastor, I always bring spiritual edge to everything. But spiritual edge is not it, it's God's edge. That's what God didn't create this world just for us to have skyscrapers. Are you listening? Our finest cars, our greatest factories don't mean a thing to God. Why? Because it's more concerned about the human more than what they have as material things. And I said on Friday, some nations will not last. I'm not going to be here 100 years' time. But the way I look at some of these nations, they may not last beyond 100 years. Nigeria began 1914. God organized it for a reason. If the purpose of nations is to seek after God, I think we should join force with God. Shouldn't we? I'd like you to get up on your feet. While we get up, I want us to give us on the screen 24th Matthew verse 14. And we're going to pray this prayer. If the purpose of God is for nations to seek after him, give us 24 Matthew verse 14 quickly. So we just pray this simple prayer. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to what? And then the end will come. Now please listen. There are a lot of preaching going on today, but people are not preaching the gospel of the kingdom. They're not preaching the gospel of the kingdom. If you notice our preaching, even in this country, it's more of preaching to people and to do things, to get things from God, but not really the gospel of the kingdom. That yesterday I was doing something. It was early this morning. I picked up my phone. I said, I want to check what some ministers are preaching about love. And I hardly could find people talking about loving God. God's commandment is to love one another. I hardly could find. I look at they brought some of their devotionals. Their devotional is about loving God, serving God. But I didn't hear about this cross-border love, that I just love you because you are a child of God. In fact, some of these places, they don't mention children of God. They mention more of their church members. So I'd like you to lift up your hands and say, Father, we pray. You may not understand what you are praying. It doesn't matter. But just cooperate with God. Say, Father, we pray that the gospel of the kingdom will get to all nations. Will get to African nations, European nations, Asian nations, American nations. Lord, we pray that the gospel of the kingdom will spread far and wide. And men and women, boys and girls, married and single, they will have access to the gospel of the kingdom. Lord, we ask that men and women be raised to send forth the good news of the kingdom. We pray that men will see God as their Father and they will see themselves in the government of God. Father, we pray for our nations. We pray for even Nigeria. We pray for West African nations. We pray for East African nations. We pray for North African nations. We pray for Southern African nations that the gospel of the kingdom will go further, will be entrenched in the heart of men and women. Thank you that they will come to know Jesus. They will come to know the Father. They will come to know the power of the Spirit. Thank you, Father, Lord. Don't let, Lord, we pray that these rumors of wars and wars will not distract. Will not distract from the main goal. We pray that the goal of the gospel of the kingdom reaching the world be fulfilled in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, Lord, that even in this riot, in this chaos, you will be establishing the gospel of your kingdom. You'll be sending your word out for men and women to receive and live by this word in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We cooperate with you today. We say your will be done on earth. We say your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. And we pray that, Lord, your church and your minister be delivered from every power of evil so they can go forth and spread this kingdom in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God. And I just pray for yourself that you will live by the gospel of the kingdom. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all this will be added to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Blessed be your name. I pray for my life this morning that I will put priority on your kingdom. I will live by your kingdom, and your name be glorified in my name, in my life. Thank you, Father God. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Can you say, Father, I emphasize the kingdom this week. I bring the power of the kingdom upon my life this week, upon my spirit, upon my soul, upon my body, upon my career, upon my work of my hands, upon my family. I bring the kingdom of God to bear. I bring the kingdom of God to bear in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Can I have your seat? Hallelujah. Praise God. I like to get involved in the plan of God, because that's what will last forever. You're welcome this morning. Let's just do some beautiful things this morning. Let me say it like this. I was telling a couple that I met yesterday. I said, you know, when you are in your midlife, when you have crossed 40, and you are a Christian, you are given very special privilege. I'll say that again one more time. If you go past 40 and you are also a Christian, you are given a very special privilege. And what's that privilege? This is the privilege. You see, we all humans, two factors determine our lives. Our genetic makeup, where we are born, our background, and second, our environment. Those two things determine who we are and who we shall continually be. That's who we are. You are black because you are born black. And you grew up in Nigeria. That's the way you talk. That's the way you think. Am I making some sense this morning? Now, these two factors usually determine our lives. When we marry, when we go to work, the things we do, they affect us so deeply. It's much more difficult when you are in your 20s and 30s and 40s to break and have a life that you determine yourself. Are you hearing me? Largely 70 to 80% of our lives are determined by our genetic makeup and our environment. What about you here? He's a Nigerian. He went to study in UI, or Abuja area. He did zoology or something, botany, you know. He was just carried along. So in our late teens and 20s, we were just carried along. We happened to get a job. He didn't get a job as botanist. He got a job as a banker. And that's how forming his life. That happened to all of us. Our genetic makeup. I went to AUD grammar school. I didn't go to King's College. My father couldn't afford it. Are you hearing me? So all this happened to us. And we are led like that. We marry And by accident, things happen to us. But then, when you pass 40 and you are a Christian, you are given a golden privilege to recraft your life. You are given a golden privilege at midlife. You know what we call it, midlife? Midlife is like the life, it's like playing football. See, when you're playing football, they have 45 minutes, am I right? Is it 45 minutes now? And then another 45 minutes, second half. But they put about 10 minutes in between, am I right? Why did they give that break? They give that break so that your coach and you will look at the match. If you are already winning, how to secure your winning very well to the end. Because it doesn't mean that you're going to lead all through. Am I making some sense? Or if you are losing, how to recraft your life so that you can go back to win. And we've seen that happen. Remember Nigeria and Russia years ago, 5-4. We came from 4-3 down, or 4-1 down. Is it 4-1 down? Or 4-0 down. And we came back in second half and 4-1, 4-2, 4-3, 4-4, 5-4. We did that. That's a long time ago. I remember where I was. I was inside bus, Ibadan bus. That Ibadan, Maston seat. Inside, I was. I couldn't forget. See, we could do that, certain area. But I believe that anybody who is born again, is a child of God, and you go past 40, you are given a chance to reinterpret your life with your own choices. Praise God. And so when we enter our 40, when we start going 50, 60, 70, we have no right to blame our upbringing, to blame our background, to blame our birth, to blame our environment for whoever we become. Because we have not only our lives, we have the Lord Jesus. Something has been going through my mind. You know, God told Israel, he said, I put before you life and death. Am I right? But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life, not and death, and life more abundantly. So there is an opportunity for you to reinvent your life, to make your life better. And no longer living by instincts and the desires that have been formed in us, but to start really taking hold of ourselves, like they say in Yoruba, abawabura, tewi oba seyeri, but tagbabatu se bi ewe nkawambe. Are you hearing me? The beautiful thing about getting older is that you can look at things with reality and make amends in them and change them for good. You see, as a Christian, no matter how old you are not trapped. You are not finished. You are not left to whatever has happened in time past. Praise God, somebody. You have a beautiful life of forgiveness and fruitfulness. Forgiveness of the past and fruitfulness of the future. Praise God, somebody. So, as a Christian, when I wake up in my 40s and 50s and 60s, I can get up, look behind me, and anything that is not right there, I can say, Father, I'm forgiving. And if I look forward and things don't look all right, I can say, the righteous shall be flourished like a palm tree. It shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Praise God. Do you know that those trees, they don't grow for 5 months. They don't grow for 5 years. They are not corns. They are not beans. They are not cassava. That's two, three years. Iroko and cedar tree, they grow into their, they get better as they grow older. Praise God. Tell yourself, I'm getting better as I grow older. The lot of things that should be changing our lives should not be waiting for. You can readdress your finances. You can readdress your emotional life. In fact, as you get older, your personality should not be under your control. How many of you remember Tim LaHaye, who wrote that book on personality? Remember that? Choleric and cool. Now, the man now wrote another book later called Spirit-Filled Temperament. And he noticed that as he thought over the years, and he met people. He said, people that are choleric, that were phlegmatic, when they met them later years of their life, they found that they were not just only displaying choleric, they were bringing other part of life because they are now spirit-filled and they are working on their lives. So whatever it is, if I have a sharp tongue before, if I have a dirty thinking before, as I grow older in the Lord, I should be able to work on my life and change it. God is making you a mechanic of your life. through your experience and your faith to make life better. So let's do some fuel that thing today. Let me talk about this life. You know, they told us that this life is vanity. I used to agree with that, but that's not true. I remember when I was growing up in my secondary school days, toward finishing secondary school, a particular music came on. Ayeyi madara pupo odara. Oh, you are part of my school. You know, it was difficult for me to put that together with all the troubles of this world, with all the calamities and chaos and missiles from Iran to Israel, and to interpret that in the light of, man. Like somebody said, everybody wants to go to heaven, nobody wants to die. So this life we live in here, we should actually approach it in a better way. I don't think so. You know why I say I don't think so? Because what we do here will affect our eternity. I came to existence here. I didn't come to existence in another place. So this life affords me the privilege of existence and of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God, somebody. And I don't think that this world is, and what I'm going to say now will help us tremendously. What I'm talking about now. So if you are not careful, with that kind of mentality like Solomon, all his vanity, you will treat this life too casual. You will think it's all about spiritual life. And then you will downplay what you do here and how you live your life. Since the car won't last, let's just use it anyhow. But don't forget, that car is conveying somebody that will last. So we just can't treat the car anyhow. Since you are going to sit on this chair for only 2 hours on Sunday, should I get you terrible chairs? No. You see, these chairs, they only have meaning when you sit on it. Am I correct? But we can't say, since you're only here for 2 hours, these chairs should not just be used well. Let's just put something there. Let's just put akboti. Are you hearing me? Put akboti there. So let's go to, with that mentality, let's go to 1 Timothy 4. Let's go to 1 Timothy 4. I got something very interesting today. I want you to listen. I'm going to take a break. We'll read our book and I'll come back. But let me introduce my subject. Look at 1 Timothy 4 verse 1. Can you give us on the screen? 1 Timothy 4 verse 1. Now, please change this background. They can't read with this. We have said that over and over again. Give us black background. I beg. Thank you. Don't bring those things up again. Just give us black. You can see better with black now. Thank you. Did you hear the chorus? Majority has it. Or have it rather. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in latter time, some will depart from the faith. Listen to this verse. Very interesting verse. We keep on reading. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. So what are these teachings of demons? What are these deceiving spirits? What is it? Look at next verse. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. And what is it all about? Look at next verse. Charles, please, I beg. Let's straighten up, I beg. Let's not have some confusion this morning. Please help us. Forbidding to marry. Now, wait. What do you call it? Doctrines of demons. Deceiving spirits. Huh? You think you'll be talking about something spiritual in the heavenly places, am I right? These spirits, these doctrines of demons, want to forbid marriage, keep on following, and commanded to abstain from food. Amazing. What kind of doctrine is this one? Commanded to abstain from food which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Can you imagine? But Paul was saying that in the last days, this spirit will come and say, look here, marriage is nonsense. Eating is bad. Huh? See, all this overemphasis on fasting is part of it. But I'm coming to that in minutes. Are we following me? Be with me. Let's keep reading. All, for every creature, every good food from God is good. And nothing is to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving. Let's keep on reading. For it is sanctified by the word of God and by prayer. So whatever God has given us as food should be received with thanksgiving, and it is set apart by the word of God and prayer. Now let's keep reading. This is why I'm doing this morning. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and good doctrine. So bringing this subject up has made me a good minister. Are you hearing me? Praise God. Let's read this verses again in NLT. Give us from verse 3 in NLT. Can you give us an NLT? It make it a little bit clearer. And they will say it is wrong to be married and wrong to eat certain foods. But God created those foods to be eaten with thanks by faithful people who know the truth. Let's keep reading. Since everything God created is good, we should not reject any of it but receive it with thanks. Let's keep reading. For we know it is made acceptable by the word of God and prayer. Next verse. If you explain these things to the brothers and sisters, Timothy, you'll be a worthy servant of Christ Jesus, one who is nourished by the message of faith and the good teaching you have followed. So this morning, I'm bringing something very interesting. As you get older, don't think that this world is a passing away and you will not give your life a beautiful life. Don't think it's just life. Oh, man, we are not going to be atidagba sha gbogbo nlo nani e ba yes mo nani e atidagba ati ele tin kokomo, you know. No, it says these demons will come and emphasize not marriage being right and good food. Interesting. Pastor, what kind of topic is this one? I need to emphasize to you doctrines of demons, that marriage and food, they are bad. So live an ascetic life. Live 150 days of fasting in a year. Don't touch food. Food is an enemy. It will not let you go further. Don't come near your wife. Don't come near your husband, because you need to be spiritually up all the time, right? And also, as we get older, if you are not careful, you don't see life well anymore. You just carry on. So let's dig into that. Let's go to Solomon to make it clearer for us. Maybe I'm going to give you like Solomon said it, chapter 9, Ecclesiastes. Now, you'll be happier I did this. Praise God this morning. Oh, glory to Jesus. I said glory to Jesus. Before I read Ecclesiastes, let's read Acts 13. Paul was talking about God when they had a miracle. Don't worry. Put your hands in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. We'll come back there. Let me leave my... Hallelujah. I want us to read soon. All right. Praise God. Okay. Let's go to Act 13 first. He was talking about, there was a man that was paralyzed in his legs. Paul got him to get up, and the whole town went berserk, and he said, Act chapter 14. All right, so let's read from verse 8. Just let's read the story, so we just follow. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. Something was wrong with his body. Let's keep on reading. This man heard Paul speaking, Paul observing him intently and saying that he had faith to be healed. I talked about he was born genetically wrong in his leg. Paul brought faith to change his life, and he leaped and walked. Next verse. And now when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Laconian language, the gods have come down to us, where? In the likeness of men. Next verse. And Barnabas, they call Zeus, and Paul, Hermas, because he was the chief speaker. Let's go on, next verse. Then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and gallants to the gate, intending to sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas as the new gods in town. Next verse. When the apostles and Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas, had this, they tore their clothes, running among them, crying out. What did they cry out? Please follow this story now. And say, men, why are you doing this thing? We also are men with the same nature as you. And preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God. Now please be with me now. Who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them? He didn't make them for nothing. Look at next verse. This is the verse that just floored me. Who in bygone generations allow all nations to walk in their own ways, but nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness in that he did good. Please listen. He did good. He was talking about the witness why God is existing and why God is here now. How can we prove God exists? Because he does us good. Someone said, like, God does me good. Tell us, God is good to me. And he said, he gave us rain from heaven and whatness and fruitful season, filling our heart with what? So, if somebody asks you, does God exist? Tell them, can you eat? That's me, God exists. Does God exist? Are you happy? Are you glad to see things happen here? That's God. Can you imagine that in nature, there's no gladness in nature? Rocks don't dance. They just follow their timing, the sun, their signs. But there's something about us as human. Pastor, what are you driving at? Be with me. I'm just giving my foundation first before I will say what I need to say. Because when I start saying those things I want to say, some of us will get off our background and wonder what's going on here. Now, let me talk about the challenges to these two things about food and marriage. Pastor, you're talking like this, but people are today are poor. They can't even find food. You know how much food is expensive? That's one. Second, marriage has become so tough. What about the widows? What about the single parent? What about the divorced, separated? Now, please listen, everybody, carefully here. I want to appreciate those who are widows and single parents here. Let's clap our hands for them. Praise God. I want to appreciate you because you are coming from an angle. You are coming from an angle where marriage has either been dissolved or there's been a death of the spouse. But every widow here and every divorced person, looking back to their life, they will see that there have been some good points of marriage. Am I right, ma'am? Am I right, sir? And there's something about it that you notice, of course, not every day marriage is a beautiful day. Even those of us who are married, we know that there are fighting days, there are good days. I was telling somebody yesterday, I said, I fight with my wife regularly those days. We have major fights in the year, three or four. Then became three, became two. Then became one in a year. Then last year, we didn't have any major fight. Now, when I say major fight is the one you fight. Maybe it may be over toothpaste too, but it becomes major. That 3 or 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 days, 9 days, 10 days, 2 weeks, am I calling like this in the house? There's no friend like Jesus. Come and eat your food. Belly, Mumbo, Carol, Castle, you know, that goes for 2 weeks. I used to be there. I ain't going back there. it's not the nicest thing in the world, you know. You know, I mean, you just, you know, you're going home, you have the key. You have the key. And notice something, moment you settle like this, everybody's happier. Praise God. So we know, and that's why those who are widows and those who are single parent divorced, they miss that. Okay, some things might have happened, they miss that. But that is the beauty of Christianity. Whatever we miss, there's abundance of grace to help us there. Praise God, somebody. I said, praise God, somebody. Now, saying all that as the foundation. Let me now go to the crazy chapter in the Bible about what you should do today. Let's go. Chapter 9, Ecclesiastes. When I finish reading, I'll stop reading. Sister Muji will come and read a book for us. Then we will get chapter 9, Ecclesiastes. Okay. Let's go. Hallelujah. In the light of all I've said, look at verse 7. 9, verse 7. Go! Eat your bread with joy. And drink your wine with a merry heart. Don't talk like that in church. For God has already accepted your works. Let's keep reading. Let your garment always be white, and let your head lack no oil. Let's keep reading. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which he has given you under the sun, all your days of vanity, for that is your portion. That's your portion in life and in the labor which you perform under the sun. Before you leave here, what's your portion? Go eat bread with joy. Drink wine with a happy heart. Don't sound like church this morning. Keep your garment pure. Let not your head lack oil. Live joyfully with the wife whom you mold up all the days of your seemingly useless life. All your days of vanity, for that is your portion in life and in labor which you perform. And I like next verse. It says, whatever your hands find to do, sorry for screaming, do it with all your might. So he said, put gusto. Let's read it. Before I start preaching on this, let's read Message Bible. The same passages. From verse, what we read? From verse 7, right? Are you here with me? Hey, take a look. Seize life. Are you here? Eat bread with gusto. Drink wine with a robust heart. Oh yes, God takes pleasure in your pleasure. Someone said, are we all right today in church? Dress festively every morning. Don't skimp on colors and scarves, ladies. Relish life with the spouse you love each and every day of your precarious life. Each day is God's gift. It's all you get in exchange for the hard work of staying alive. Make the most of each one. I'll start talking next few minutes. Let's take a break. I don't like food. I eat bread with grump, not with gusto. My brother is laughing, it's like me. But I'm trying to change because I have second half now. I mean, so that I can recount the story. Are you hearing me? Like one man, Stamuji getting ready. See, that this man, I was told that he traveled from US to from UK to US those days when it was by ship. And when he paid the money for the transport, for the journey, he never knew the money covered the food. Remember the story? And he bought some caca biscuits to eat along the way. So when he was in the sea for about 2 or 3 months, those days was a lot of journey. So he would go to his room and eat the caca biscuits, and he would watch people in the cafeteria eating good food, and he would tell himself that when I land in the US, I will live better. So after the journey, they got to the harbor, and they were all flying out of the ship, and then the captain was shaking their hands. And when he came to this man, he said, I hope you enjoyed the journey. Oh, he said, I tried. He said, by the way, we never see you in the cafeteria. Oh, he said, I only had money for the journey. I didn't have money for the cafeteria food. The man said, Baga, your transport money covered the food. I said, if I were him, I said, let's go back. You know, I don't want to go to heaven and miss out all I could enjoy here. Can you clap your hands for Jesus, somebody? Samuji, let's read. Then I come back to my subject. Praise God. Okay, let's take a break. Today, love dear. Live joyfully with the wife of your youth. Let's read some other stuff. Thank you. And then let me tell you, and he was eating, and they brought a man there that his hand was withered. And they were watching whether Jesus will heal him. But you know, to my surprise, I said, Jesus, you are in a bad environment. Anointing cannot flow here. Are you listening? Because for me personally, are you listening? I won't eat before I preach. I must be a little bit fasting and not and praying. I don't eat like this. When I have a meeting, I don't like to eat. I must keep, that's what we are taught. You must keep the anointing and you must not eat. And I could imagine Jesus eating. That day I saw in my Bible, I screamed. And I could imagine oil around his mouth. Granite oil or palm oil. And the guy's hand, he said, stretch forth your hand. And anointing and oil with oil in his mouth, with bread sticking out one corner. Jesus lived life with gusto. Those days, I couldn't tolerate children. Those days. Children, now people see children around me. Because, you see, life is too serious. Among your visitor, undawalamu. And please, as you get older, don't carry the weight of the world on your head. I know Prof is the VC. All the troubles in the campus come to his door, from cutting cables to roof spanning. If you are not careful, you carry so much of that bag full of all kinds of memos and files. And you know what? You can drop the bag in the office, it's still staying on your mind. The moment they make you an oga or PhD or something, HOD something or something, you start carrying, everything's coming to you. Everything's coming to you. Everything's coming to you. But God said, hey, eat your bread with joy. Are you hearing me? Look at it again in your Bible. Verse 7. Go eat your bread with joy. Sit down. And do you know, that's why we pray over food. Many of us, we pray mechanical prayer over food. Like this, Father, just thank you for this food. I mean, just grump it out. We actually don't, hardly, because food is not my thing. You know, I want to say, sometimes food is already in my mouth. I say, thank you, Lord, for the food. You know? I never stop to say, Lord, thank you for the power to eat, to be able to. Food is just, no, God designed food here. I think even after resurrection, we'll likely be eating. You know, I said so. After Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible said he met the disciples and apostles. And he said, it's me. They said, you are a ghost. He said, bring bread and bring fish. Huh? And he made a breakfast for them and they ate together. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want you to start approaching your food with joy. He said, that's your portion under the sun. Come, with all the money you have in account, it doesn't matter. Actually, UBA is using it. The only thing you have available to you, somebody is pushing somebody else and says, Subo, Kusiba, Subo. Some of us are food lovers. You say, Pastor, talk about that. You know, he said, the only thing, your portion here is to eat your bread with joy. Even when he has nothing else added, do it with joy. You know why? Your body needs that to keep running here. God needs your body strong and healthy to live life well here and do your assignment. So don't see food as just necessarily evil and it's just bad and people just glorify themselves that, you know, I don't eat at all. I'm not like everybody who just eat everything. You can compare yourself, but you're becoming Pharisaical in your mind. So eat your bread with joy. It doesn't sound spiritual. It doesn't sound spiritual. Hello. That's our problem in Nigeria. You know, Nigeria today, every church is trying to push everybody to go that spiritual, that fasting, that thing. And you wonder why now Jackpa came and they are all leaving. You know why? Life is too serious in Nigeria. You do your own water. You do your own NEPA. You do your own something. Huh? And our parents actually, you know, this is the test of your parenting. This is the test of your parenting. After your children go, will they like to come back to your house? Would they like to come back to your house? I mean, one of my daughters was telling herself when they were giving her some trouble at work. She said to herself, I'm just doing this work. My father can take care of me. I can go home at any time. This work is not my life. He said, I can go back home. My daddy will take care of me. Praise God, somebody. Is your home that kind of joy, that kind of food, that kind of rejoicing? Praise God, somebody. Amen. I said amen. Amen. And then he said, and drink your wine with a merry heart. Let's go to Psalm 104. I want to show you some three things about life. Psalm 104. That Psalm 104 described God as the God of the environment, God of nature. Psalm 104. Let's go down there. Hallelujah. Today is not spiritual at all. It's very heartily. Psalm 104. Have you ever read Psalm 104 before? When you get to try and read it, we're talking about birds, grass. Look at verse 14. God causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the service of man. That he may what? Take a look. That may what? Let's look at verse 15. And wine that makes glad the heart of man. Oil to make his face shine. And bread. You know, Jesus says something about even when you are fasting, look festive. Are you hearing me? Jesus said, when you are fasting, am I correct? Let's read it. Matthew 6. Hallelujah. We jump a little bit. I just want to emphasize this today so that you can keep living with that sense. That's the trademark of Christianity, that people can see us and then... are we there? Matthew chapter 6. Let's look at verse 16. Matthew 6, 16. Moreover, when you fast, don't be like the hypocrite with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their face that they may appear to them to be fasting. So that's it, they have their reward. Next verse. What say? But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Next verse. So that you don't appear to them. Give me that verse 17 again. Verse 17. Give us verse 17. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Give us in Message Bible. Message Bible. See, if you go into training, that's fasting inwardly. Act normal outwardly. Shampoo. Comb your hair. Brush your teeth. Wash your face. NLT. Oh, glory to Jesus. But when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face. Look, it's saying that the day you look brightest is when you are fasting. Praise God, somebody. So, whoa, we should carry this. Oh, glory to Jesus. Go back to chapter 6, chapter 7, Ecclesiastes. Go eat your bread with joy. And give us quickly on the screen. 7, Ecclesiastes, verse what? Verse 7. Okay, verse 9. Is it verse what? Chapter 9, verse 7. I took it around. Sorry, Charles, for confusing you. Go eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart. One of the things that make people that are older to get sicker is because they don't develop merry heart continually. Are you hearing? Bible says, a merry heart does good like medicine. You must have that, you know, that vitality, that vivaciousness, what do you call it now? Vivacity. That welcoming life. One of the greatest men in the Bible was David. David was a man's man. Praise God, somebody. He enjoyed life, and they called Jesus the Son of Man. John the Baptist was in the bush, fasting all the time, and crying, repent, eating grasshoppers and wild honey. But Jesus was in the city. How many are John's followers here? How many are Jesus' followers? How many are Jesus' followers here? So display your master. He said, God has already accepted your works. That means you are righteous, you are with him, you are his children. Can you clap your hands for Jesus, somebody? Let me emphasize something as I round up here. If you look at verse 8, it says, your garment always be white, and let your head lack no oil. Now, this also has spiritual connotation. That means that don't let anything come on you to sadden your conscience. You see, your garment speaks of your life, your lifestyle. Don't live a life where you are always struggling, grieved inside, doing something wrong. That garment should be kept pure. One of the things that make people to become really not up to par, life-wise and God-wise, is that they are doing things to trouble their own conscience. You know, if I find a pencil on the ground, I won't pick it as mine. You know why? Not because it's just an ordinary pencil, but it may create a chaos in my conscience that I will be for the next 6 hours. So what do? I avoid it entirely. I do the same thing with my wife. Some things I could say that will cause some trouble, I just didn't say. I won't say it. Why? So we can keep the peace going. Are you hearing me? Somebody was telling me yesterday, said, you know, my wife will ask for water to drink, and we are upstairs. I started laughing. I said, I'm in that kind of suit too. You see your wife, we have all climbed up, we are on the bed, I want to drink water. There's no water upstairs. Actually, when she said, I want to drink water, he said, you go get me water. That's what I hear. I don't know what anybody else here. But instead of just start getting angry, getting mad, clear that out and get the water anyway. It's good for the exercise. Are you? Let your garment always be white. Keep yourself on. And say, let your head lack no oil. Listen to me, somebody over here. We just read, oil makes a man's face to shine. See, there's something about positive outlook to life. And you must have that as you get older. You must look at life because you have seen so many problems. I've seen elders who have seen, so, and when you enter their presence, your troubles dissolve. I had one young pastor in Ibadan. You know, they were raising money to pay for their rent. Are you listening? And when he got the money, kept it in the church, and somebody stole the money. So he was so confused. He went to go and see another pastor, bigger pastor in town. Pastor Kolade. So he went to his place. He was so troubled. When he entered his presence, that one was eating. So while he was eating, he said, sir, I'm here to see you. Oh, pastor said, come and eat. Ah, relax now. So he said, I must tell you now. He said, what is it? He said, we had this money put in our room, about 100,000. Somebody stole it. The man laughed. He said, our own church, they stole 1 million. He said, will you eat? He said, I will eat. So he said, I eat it. I mean, if you confess 1 million, I'll be eating. What's 100,000? That's a title of it now. Just sit and eat your food, Joe. Praise God. And if you couldn't get the money, we'll go and be meeting outside on the road and be shouting hallelujah. That'll be more evangelism for the street anyway. I'm making some sense this morning. You're going to have to work on this. Like you put oil on your face. You have to put gladness in your life. Amen, somebody. All women know here, you put oil on your body, don't you? You have all types of oil, different kind of things, like my wife. Huh? And they just try this and put it on. And they look bright when they come out, unlike us. We just look the way we are. So begin to put brightness in your life. Though sadness, weeping may endure for the night, joy comes when? Can I ask you a question? When is the morning? Stabola Uchi, worship, I'm not going to ask you. When is the morning? Morning is when you wake up. No matter how sad things are, just wake up. Joy has come. Praise God, somebody. Just wake up to your place in Christ Jesus. Just wake up to your life as a Christian, as a child of God. Amen, somebody. Now, I'm not disputing with all our trials and troubles, but Bible says we should laugh in the face of difficulties. Rejoice when you fall into various difficulties and trials. Am I right? So we must keep that kind of festive thing going on. That kind of rejoicing in our lives. Yeah, pastor, I don't have that, but thank God for what I have. Oh, yeah, pastor, I don't have a husband, but you have these 2 children that are such a blessing to you. Am I right? Oh, pastor, I'm not abroad, but you're living somewhere in GRA, right? Oh, Banana Island. I live in Banana Island. That's where I live. Banana Island. Abeokuta. Bananas are behind my house. From Sister Witches, you know, a little that's where I live. Emmanuel, the owner of Banana Island. I'm a tenant there. Praise God. Just put oil on you. Just rejoice. Just be happy. Pastor, don't you understand? No. I refuse to understand sadness. Praise God. Praise God. I said, praise God. As you get older, be that person that can go to. Praise God. That when somebody loses money, come and chop. Come and sit down. Hallelujah. You can laugh over difficulties. Praise God, somebody. And your children will require that. Your children will need that because they will call you for counsel. They call you for advice. And what will you tell them? What will you say? Will you speak with pain in your heart? Or you say, come on, don't worry. My God, God is good. Let's go after it. Amen. 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 I need to stop here. Let's close with verse 9. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which God has given you under the sun. All your days. Have you noticed something? If you are married here, the older you get, the more both of you are available to each other now. The children are living. If they have not left, some of them have gone to boarding house. Let me make you laugh. This morning I was looking through the window. I saw Prof coming with Prof Mrs. Only two of them in the car. I said, what's the day, bye bye? We are there now. Are you hearing me? Sorry, I saw it through my window. I have a window where I see everybody just. I just saw them walking. Same thing with Prof. They come visiting once in a while. Only after a while, temporary visiting, they become permanent visa. Are you hearing me? And then you're going to have to stay with this person. The Bible says, release that life. Rejoice in that. My wife one time was telling him, I said, okay, my wife, we always live together all these years. Maybe weekend or something. So when the issue came that she had to travel with Ayo one time, I said, hey, go. And you know my reason for her to go? I said, you know what? Sometimes love gets better when you are distant from each other. I said, just go. So, say, I'm not going to cope. I said, leave that alone. We'll cope. And you know, now, I'm calling my wife every day. Before service, after service, talking, like back to those days. Are you hearing me? Huh? When she comes back now, WhatsApp will stop. Because we are face to face now. So whatever you have, release that, enjoy it. Pastor, somebody said, I'm a single parent, I'm a widow. Enjoy life. You know, get yourself a table, invite yourself to a hotel. Are you hearing me? Huh? Don't buy too much because, you know, the money has to be managed for the secondary school students. And just sit down, take a bottle of malt. And put on music beside you. They won't send you out until you finish your drink. Huh? Praise the Lord. If you're married there, enjoy life. Together. I believe in work. But all work without play. Make Jack and John and James a dollar apostle. Are you hearing me? So please, now I want to round this up like this. Please, don't use your marriage only to remove the negative. We have to be together so we can put money together, so we can face life in difficulties, time together. But we also have time of joy, time of rejoicing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Live joyfully. Live joyfully. Now something, I got another Bible says, see life together with the wife you love all the days of your vain life. Let me drop this for men. Woman is easier for you. You love your husband. Affection is for you. But we husbands, you know, our own is more of calculations than feelings. And if you are not careful as you get older, you start looking at your wife that she's an old woman now, right? This is just there. I used to love her those days. The kick has gone. Okay, kick yourself. Have you ever noticed that the kick inside car, they don't come on by themselves? If the kick in your car starts coming by yourself, your car has a problem. Huh? If the kick in your car just boom on your own, mechanic, marble, before the joton. What do? You take a key on purpose and put it on. But don't forget, that kick does not run the engine. It only starts that flywheel. When you do that, it starts working and it catches up by itself and starts running. And then you don't leave the kick on. Am I right? So when it comes to loving our wives, we do it like this. You have to deliberately choose in your mind, I'm going to be attractive to her. I'm going to be attractive to her. She's attractive to me. When you choose that, instead of looking around you, something happens. Here comes all the modern effect. But as a man, you have to choose that. So every day, a man is going through marital vow. You say, I will love her. I will do her the best. Let me close like this. Ephesians 5, Amplified Bible, verse 25. Let's read that and round up. Hallelujah. Remember, eat bread with joy. Drink wine. By the way, drink not alcoholic wine, no. So we start flying around and falling out. Get five alive. Get pure heaven. Praise God. Husband, give us an amplify. Not amplify classic. Ordinary amplify. Can you get ordinary amplify? I want to see something. Amplify ordinary. Thank you. Husband, love your wife. Look at what is in the brackets. Seek the highest good for her. And surround her with caring, unselfish love. How? Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. You know, women are interesting. Women are very, very interesting. But they are more a responder than an actor. When it comes to the matter of home, you can see a woman calling the shot in the office, pushing everybody, pushing them around. But when she comes home, she wants to fall into the hands of somebody who just cares for her. And I've seen today younger women lamenting, I'm caring for everybody, I'm caring for everybody, everybody caring for me. The husband's job is to care for her unselfishly. Praise the Lord. Unselfishly. I have a renewed mission now to see that my wife is happy. Because my happiness is tied up in that. Praise God. Seek the highest good for her and surround her with caring, unselfish love. Woo! Seek it. And when you are seeking for something, you look for it. Am I right? You just don't, if you are seeking for your car, you just don't stand there and say, Kia, Ki, where are you? Go ahead, show up. Well, I'm going to show up for my wife. So, on purpose, now, let me, can I get very, very plain? Can I get very, very plain? For men here, your wife is old now. She doesn't look like those girls around. By the way, you made her that old. It's your dream, marvelous in our eyes. Huh? So, you see, a lot of us men, we don't see that our wives are beautiful until Abimelech is chasing Sarah. You know what I'm talking about? You don't get it, forget it. You understand the riddles, forget it. Pastor David, you don't think your wife is beautiful? You don't think so, eh? You know, I'm already used to her face. I'm already used to her. I know her. She's too tall. She's too short. She's too fat. She's too skinny. One day, my wife came back home and said, you know what? I said, what is it? He said, I was doing my exercise, and a man just parked beside me with a Mercedes Benz. All those old ones, you know. And I said, madam, can I carry you? I said, I'm okay. Oh, let me help you now. I'd like to just talk to you. Can you come? My wife said, no, I'm okay. He said, what do you do? I'm a pastor, Mrs. The man said, I'm also a deacon. You know my first reaction? Who was my wife? My wife came. Let's stop there today. Are you blessed? Praise God. Thank you very much. Let's give our offering. Bless the Lord. All right. Can we give our offering? Choir, come and sing. Today is really, really not so spiritual in church, but we live here. Oh, pastor's offering.